Stand with us. We'll read a few verses in the book of Philippians chapter number 3. Paul stated in verse 13, if you remember last week, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. Now, if Paul hadn't arrived, I don't know why in the world anybody else in a pair of shoes think they had. Thank you, Brother Gerald. He said, but this one thing I do. I don't want you to forget that, this one thing I do. I said last week, Dale Moody said, it's better to say this one thing I do than to say these 40 things I dabble with. Forgetting those things that are behind. Thank God we serve Him that He's got it covered by the blood tonight. No use me and you dragging up old sins that He's forgiven us for. And reaching forth out of those things which are before. You'll never get what God's got for you till you reach for them. Some folk think they'll just fall in your lap. They won't do it. You got to apply yourself to get to where God wants you to get. He said, I press. That's energy. That's doing something. I press toward the mark. Remember last week, it's a line drawn in the sand out there somewhere. Man, you ain't getting across it. We're going to cross that finish line. I like what one of the preachers said last night. I don't care what a man's done for 30, 40 years. It's the last few years in his life what it'd be remembered for. You as a Christian tonight can serve God all your life. Do something stupid. They're going to remember you for that, not what you done, what you did. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for standing tonight. Verse 15, he said, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk with the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren. He used that word, and that's what I'm going to preach about tonight, is brethren. Brethren. I want to say tonight, brethren, we ought to have a uniformed mind. Uniform mind. Look at verse 15. He said, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. A uniformed mind. We ought to forget about the distractions of the past. He's saying, you that are mature, don't let your past bother you. He said, you can't go where God wants you if you keep dwelling in the past. A uniform mind. Distractions of the past. Now notice Paul, he dealt with what he left. He said, brethren, he said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Not what he left, but notice where he looked. He said, and reaching forth in those things which are before. He said, we ought to have a uniform mind. He said, don't let the distractions of the past pull you down. Number two, don't let the discouragements of the present pull you down. There's a real devil tonight. The devil's going to come against anything that's God-centered. And you always remember that. Don't think it's strange if you run into opposition of the devil. For Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. In other words, hell's coming against you tonight, Christian. But he said it ain't going to prevail. Now, if he prevails, it's because we give in to him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, hey, the devil is no match for the Holy Ghost tonight. Whether you believe this or not, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's a power in you that can overcome the devil and temptation. A uniformed mind. Then secondly, he said you ought to have a unified march. Look in verse 17. Not only a uniformed mind, but you ought to have a unified march. There's a little word there. I don't know if you caught it or not, but in verse number 17, he said, "Brethren, be followers together of me." What a statement. I've always wondered, how could a man live so close to God that he'd say, "If you boys would just walk away, I walk, you'll be all right." That's a statement. To follow Him was automatically, Brother Gerald, to follow Him. Isn't that amazing? To follow Him was automatically to follow Him. A unified march. He said, "Listen, brethren, be followers together of me." You'll notice there's an example set. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in verse 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Let's look at this example set. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only," is what he's telling this church at Thessalonica. But he said, "This gospel came also in power and in the Holy Ghost." That's what we're missing a lot of times is the Holy Ghost. Got a lot of outlines, got a lot of trained preachers, but not a lot of Holy Ghost. Got a lot of churches, but not a lot of Holy Ghost. A lot of praying, but not a lot of Holy Ghost. You see, you gotta be filled with the Holy Ghost before you can preach in the Holy Ghost. Before you can pray in the Holy Ghost, you gotta be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he said, "Our word said that come not only in power, but in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And I done found out, only the Holy Ghost brings joy. Choir sang a while ago, I'm honest before God in heaven, I wanted to run lap the building. That's what kind of freedom I felt. Wished I'd had it Sunday morning. He said, "You received joy of the Holy Ghost so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia." I wonder what kind of examples we are to the people in Bowdoin, Georgia. I ask you tonight as a Christian, if they followed you, where would you take them? I ask me tonight as your pastor, if you follow me, where am I taking you? I can say this, I better know where I'm going. Because I'm taking some folks where I'm headed. You taking more folks where you headed than what you know. I noticed Brother Brett's little girl tonight. I don't know if anybody noticed her or not. She's right up there. It caught my attention. She did this to me. And then I looked back up and I noticed I was doing this. You know what that baby was doing? You know what little Emma was doing right here on the front bench, Brother Dennis? I wish some of you could get excited as these babies. Some of you done got over what God done for you. Wish we could be like these little young'uns. Lord, what a song leader would give somebody to do this sometime. Amen. What a preacher would do somebody say, "Amen, preacher." Instead of when the building's packed with visitors and get on a sore issue and you just hush, you say, "Oh my Lord, what's our preacher going to say now?" Y'all say amen. If the man of God's in the Word of God, say amen. You said, we was examples to you. He said, you followed us. You see, I want to be careful where I'm headed because I know I got people following me, whether I want to realize that or not. That don't sound egoistic neither. The Holy Ghost wrote this about Paul. Look what he said. Paul wasn't gloating about himself. You think the Holy Ghost would ever pin down a man gloating about himself? He said when the Holy Ghost come, he'd glorify Christ. Isn't that amazing? A man lives so close to Jesus, he said, y'all boys, saddle up and follow me. It can be done. But it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of putting this old man on a cross, don't it? You know, I find every morning in my prayer life, I don't know how long it's been since I've missed prayer life in the morning. But I found out something. Every morning I forgot about putting this old man on a cross and killing him because he don't want to stay dead. You be careful what you're doing. Be careful where you're going because somebody's following you. You see, there's a uniformed man, but there's a unified march. I want to say this tonight. This church will never go down long as it stays unified. I've never seen a drunkard close a church door yet. I've never seen a town hall close a church door yet. But I've seen them closed because what was happening on the inside. I love the way our church does things. We handle things as they come. Not a lot of planning. I don't know how all these fellers plan. I don't know what I'm doing half the time until I get here 1 minute after the next. I don't know about y'all, but the Holy Ghost changed me a lot. The Holy Ghost just don't tell me the end of the story all the time. I just don't know how a man's going to preach something next Sunday and the Holy Ghost ain't showed him yet. I don't understand all. I don't understand how we can print a program today that's in effect Sunday. We're going to call on Brother Mike to lead prayer, and Brother Mike might have had a flat tire at Anniston. Who's going to lead prayer? It amazes me. You see, there are some times that we've got to understand this, that God knows best. And whether me and you understand what's going on or not, we gotta trust Him. When we can't see Him, we gotta trust Him in spite of ourselves. Because He knows what's around the corner. A unified march. We must stay together. An example set. Secondly, there's an examination stated. Look what He says. He said, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. I wonder in this church who you would mark to follow. He said, you listen. He said, not only is there an example set, but there's an examination stated. He said, pick you out some people in leadership, and if they staying close to Jesus, do what they do. That goes against some things you've been taught, don't it? Well, I'm going to report to Jesus, and I've heard this a lot of times. He's the only one. Yada, 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 yada. Thank God I've had some people lead me to God. I didn't know how to get there, but I'm glad there was some men in my life knowed how to get me there. One lady one time said, I want you to sing a song. This individual said, well, our pastor ain't called on us. She said, well, does your pastor know everything? No, he don't know everything. He knows a little bit about worship. That's the way trouble starts in church out. That's when you hear somebody bickering and squawking, you ought to call their bluff right then. You ought not chime in with them. That's how churches get padlocked. Y'all say, hang on, Doc. Let's go see the pastor. Down there around the green bean aisle at the Piggly Wiggly. They run in the mouth about you, preacher. Walk up and get some guts. Say, what'd you say? You won't say that in front of the assembly there Wednesday night. Hello, phone's ringing. Pick it on up. A lot of people just jump in, chime in, and then the devils run the church house and unification's left. We got to stay together. I don't believe totally what you believe, I'm sure. I probably don't agree with everything you do. But I'm going to love you. Like what an old fella said, Christians must, who differ in smaller matters, should yet bear with one another because they are agreed in the main matter. We must go together in the ways of God. Join together in all the great things in which you are agreed and wait for the further light in the minor things which you differ. I love this. Brother Dave Phillips told me this last week. I love it. His grandma used to have a saying. She says, things won't matter in 1,000 years from now. Leave them alone. That causes us a lot of problems, don't it? I mean, you think about it. How many problems that you've had that it won't matter 1,000 years from now. Will the blood of Jesus matter? You better know it will. Will the Holy Ghost matter? You better know it will. But honey, some little old pet peeves that preachers got, it ain't going to matter 1,000 years down the road. Ain't going to matter. We got to agree in the main matter and move on for Christ and win a community to God. Amen? I met with insurance folks today. I was walking the property and I got to thinking downstairs, this ministry is totally debt-free. Look what kind of opportunities we've got. Look what kind of opportunities we've got to be a blessing for the Lord Jesus in a dark time. You ain't got nobody that you got to vote and they're going to see if they in a click or not and if they're going to let you have it. Lord, I'm encouraging myself already, Brother David. I don't know how many families in this church house sitting here tonight, this ministry's helped without a vote. No place in the New Testament church do you see they ever had a vote. They followed the leadership in the church house and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. This thing of voting's hogwash. They can trust a preacher to get their kids to heaven, but they can't trust him in a building program. I'd get me another preacher. Sound like to me they got the buggy before the horse. Sound like to me it's a bunch of confused Baptists. Unified march. He said, he said, this is what you want to do. I want you to be followers together of me. Get together and let's go. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Young ladies, I can tell you some godly women around here you ought to pattern your lifestyle after. Be a good way to raise your children up. Be a good way for you. Some of you to look and see how they dress. I ain't talking about skirts dragging the ground, hair in bonnets. And some of you sometimes need to cover up some flesh. Amen. Look, we ain't praying. Quit looking at the floor. We're preaching right now. Look around some of these older ladies in the church. That's how you can dress. It's how you conduct yourself. Some of you ladies need to know how to love your husband. Yeah, I asked some of these ladies been married 40 years. How'd you keep your husband 40 years? I imagine they kept doing what got him. Hello. Boy, phones are ringing off a hook tonight, ain't it? What about you there, Leroy? What about when you used to open the door? What about you used to take her on a date every now and then? Where'd all that go? Some of y'all look like you've eaten rat poison tonight. Unified march. Paul was an ideal missionary. He was an ideal soul winner. He was an ideal pastor. He was an ideal Bible teacher. And he was an ideal practitioner of the faith. He said, follow me and you'll be all right. Uniform mind, unified march. Number three, verse 18, there's an unfortunate mockery. Look what he said. And he's crying about it. That amazed me. Paul's in a jail cell. Could you imagine him sitting there as he's writing this letter? He's a crying. And the jailer that he's hooked to there in shackles, being sure he's already said, Paul, listen, don't be a crying. He said, I know you miss your home. He said, oh, it ain't my home. He said, I know you miss your family. Paul, he said, no, that ain't what I'm crying about. Paul, I know you hate you fastened up here. That ain't what I'm crying about. Look what he's crying about. There's unfortunate mockery in verse 18. For many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let me tell you, honey, there is a cross to protect tonight. And any man bypass the Lord Jesus on a cross, he's a heretic. Our president's over there cohorting with Muslims tonight. I tell you why our country, the reason it's headed to where it's headed, because we've tolerated things that the Bible said not tolerate. You don't bypass this cross and Jesus and get to the heaven I'm headed to. And he said, there's an unfortunate mockery. He said, everywhere I go, that bunch shows up. Verse 18, look at their number. For many walk. That ain't changed tonight. Folks, it just ain't happened tonight that we live in a world of Antichrist. That's just not started. We see the number and then we see their nature in verse number 19. He said, whose end is destruction. We see their doom. And then we see their desires. He said, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. God is their belly. False brethren. They're ruled by self-indulgence and materialism. I wonder how many preachers on TV. And this way I gotta keep myself in right perspective. If this church hit hard times and said, Pastor, we can't take care of you no more, you know what I'd do? I'd say, well, I tell you what, y'all show up and we're gonna go to a meeting, I'll go get me a job Monday somewhere. What I'm saying is, I wonder if you pull the income of most preachers, especially in where the limelight's at. I wonder how much preaching they'd be doing. I wonder how much waiting up at night. I hear a lot of people say, boy, the pastor's got it made. And he does. But I wonder if you walked around in a preacher's shoes a year. Just a year. I wonder, would you think a little different about the man of God? So there's an unfortunate mockery. Paul said, you better watch them boys that have self-indulgence. It's all about them. It's for them. And they're eat up in material things. They're sensual. They're shameful. And they're secular. Unfortunate mockery. But now verse 20. Not only a uniform mind, a unified march, an unfortunate mockery, but look at verse 20. There's a universal moment. Now our conversation, if you write in your Bible, you can put citizenship there. Not talking about speech, but he says, our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. No wonder you can't feel at home down here. Quit trying to adjust down here and get adapted. You ain't going to get adapted in this godless world. If you love Jesus. Universal moment. Look if you would at our beloved homeland. Oh my Lord. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. I'm glad I got me a place there tonight. I wonder what it looks like. You see, our beloved homeland, It's a place like no other. Its streets are paved with gold. Its walls are built with jasper. Its gates are made of a pearl. There's a rainbow that circles the throne. It's a crystal stream. Its foundations ablaze with gems. There are many mansions. There's the tree of life. Sickness, death, and pain do not have our country's streets. There are no hospitals or prisons or asylums or retirement homes can be found. Talking about my homeland. I've noticed folks don't get excited when you say you going somewhere if they ain't going. This bunch on a cruise to Alaska, I didn't get excited in their bit, Brother David. You know why? Because I wasn't invited. Because I wasn't going. But we talking about something tonight. I'm going. This land of fadeless day. Woo! It's eternally bathed in the sunshine of God's grace. No sobs or sights are ever heard. Just anthems of praise and doxologies of bliss and songs expressing joy unspeakable and full of glory. No achy, breaky heart on that radio there.
Yes, sir.
Right now we're pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. This world is not our final home. We are heaven's ambassadors. Every night we pitch our tent, a day's march nearer home. Praise God. I don't know why we put stained glass in that window. We ought to have a springboard just to jump through that thing every now and then.
Yes, sir.
Great God, I'm one day closer. The thought of that fair land and its glorious king will help determine what we say and where we go and how we behave. How we invest our talent and what we do with our money and how we treat other people. And the amount of time we spend in worship and in service, preaching and prayer. Our homeland. Thank God I'm a pilgrim on a journey. This ain't my home. This ain't my home. This ain't my home. Our beloved home. Then look at our blessed hope. Verse 20. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. And then the Holy Ghost will be sure to let you know who that is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not only our beloved home, but our blessed hope. This look means to eagerly wait for. Now close. Not only have we talked about a uniform mind, unified march. I want to be together going for the glory of God, don't you? Lord, I'm so tired of church fights and fusses and old hogwash stuff that don't matter. Praise God, let us love each other and enjoy the good Holy Ghost while we're in this old world. Can I get a witness tonight?
Amen.
A unfortunate mockery. A universal moment. He's coming. But an unprecedented makeover. Look what he said. Boys, helps me. Who shall change our vile body? This thing's vile, boy. this thing is something else that I live in. I know some of you, you think you've arrived. Some of you don't understand me. But I want to say this tonight. You're not living in this thing. Just love me in spite of who I am. Unprecedented makeover. What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, look what he said. So change our vow. That word is low estate. Don't think too much of yourself. Joel Osteen's always talking about this positive. This positive thinking that gets you out of this world. And this self-esteem. And we need to have some esteem. I know that. We ought to lift our chin high and our shoulders back. But honey, let me tell you something. We are in a very low estate. You remember that wrestler that was governor in maybe it was up Minnesota. He said, Christians, he said something true. He said, Christians are weaklings. That's right. Amen. He said, they need a crutch to get through this world. I'm self-esteem. Look at me. I am macho man. You know something? That old rascal's headed to the graveyard. And we that have the Holy Ghost in us can say this, Mr. Wrestling Mania. Greater is He that is in me than you that's in the world. This little weakling can do things he can't do tonight. I can get in touch to the throne room of God. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned, look, like unto His glorious body. I've heard preachers say, oh, we're all going to look just alike. No, we ain't. We ain't done it. When God called Elijah and Moses back on Mount Transfiguration, they knew who they was. Nobody was confused. Honey, nobody's going to get me and you mixed up with Jesus. Around the throne, He's going to bear the battle scars of Calvary on Him. But we're going to be changed and we're going to be similar to His glorious body. How will that be? Bible tells us. Turn over, then I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 15:42. 1 Corinthians 15. What kind of body are we going to get when we're resurrected and get our new body? 1 Corinthians 15:42. I guarantee you, you see me in glory, you'll know me. The Bible said we're known as we're known. I'll know Brother Joe. I'll know Brother David. Brother Tim, I say, hey, fellas, then we shout her out every chance we got. I say, Brother Mike, wasn't it worth the trip? 1 Corinthians 15:42. I'll say, oh, Brother Jerry, my Yankee buddy. I say, Brother Jerry, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad you stepped back in that aisle that morning? Paul's writing now. They're confused about the resurrection. He's clearing some things up. They said, how in the world can anybody be resurrected from the dead? Paul said, it's easy. He said, with God, all things are possible. He said, 1 Corinthians 15:42, he said, we're going to have a change of destiny. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. You see, a change of destiny. We're going to be changed from the grave to glory. That's going to be something we head to glory in a resurrected body. Not only is it going to be a change of destiny, but notice in verse 43, it's going to be a change of dress. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and is raised in power. Right now, you listen to me, folks. Our body is clogged with lust. But it will be clothed with light. Look what he says. It is raised in glory. Anybody get around the throne of God, you're going to have a radiance off you. Remember when Adam sinned in the garden, he lost that radiance. Body's clogged with lust, but it'll be clothed with light. Not only a change of destiny, a change of dress, but look in verse 44, there's a change of dynamics. We've got a body that's engineered for this world, but we're going to get one that's engineered for another world. Look what he said in verse 44. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You remember when Christ appeared, he walked through the doors that was locked. The Bible says it's in the upper room. That Sunday morning, they were scared of the Jews, had the doors locked. He walked right in. He said, "How y'all doing?" You remember out on the shore when the disciples was fishing and he hollered in his resurrection body? He said, "Hey, lads, what you got?" He said, "Children." That verse means lads. And boy, they said something they hated to say. Nothing. That's awful when the Lord asks you what you got and you have to reply, "Nothing." He said, "Cast on the right side and ye shall find." Remember when they did that, they could not drop for the multitude of fishes. And John, man after God's own heart, cried and said, "It is the Lord." Peter dove in. Jesus had a fire built on the bank with fish. I believe with all my heart we'll be able to eat, fellowship. What's it going to be there to eat, preacher? Ah, we'll just have to wait and see when we get there. I've heard everything say, "Well, this is going to be there and that's going to be there." Don't nobody know that. You're going to have to wait and get there and find out. We're going to start a study in Revelation. I'm not going to try to describe all them seven horned devils. I'm just going to tell you what the book says. So there's a change of destiny, a change of dress, there's a change of dynamics. Look what he says now. We're going to have a spiritual body that'll never die, never get sick. That tree of life's there for a reason. We won't go in that tonight. But then there's going to be a change of durability. Look in verse 53. Let's get 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." You're corruptible. Don't think one minute you're beyond it. You're corruptible. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." A new durability. No more decay and no more death. Ain't that going to be wonderful when we get there? No more die. No more saying. Ain't that going to be a blessing when y'all get to see you? The folks that you loved. You know, one of the most special people, Brother Mike, I'm wanting to see is the old man come and won me to the Lord Jesus. I didn't get to see him before he died. I was gone out of the country and he died. Didn't get to go to... Boy, I'm just... Let my imagination go a minute. Don't bother me. But he ain't going to be doing this no more, I don't think.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe I recognize him. You know what I hope he said? You know what I hope, Elmer Casey? I hope to the God in heaven he'll let me say this. When I get there, if I quit right now, 21 years of preaching, if I go 50 more, I want him to say, "Boy, you took that serious, didn't you?" Say, "Yes, sir, I did. Thank you for coming tonight. If you'd stand with us." Thank God for our beloved home and our blessed hope, for we shall see Jesus.